Father, we want to thank you, O God. Especially, I want to thank you for giving this opportunity to speak your word to your children once again. Holy Spirit, put your precious words in my mouth, that they may receive it as your word, be healed and delivered, and receive revelation that will change our lives throughout eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Grace and salvation. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Even verse 5, going back, even when we were dead in sins, or we were separated from God in our sins, hath quickened us together with the Anointed One, Christ. By grace you are saved. By the empowering presence of God, which enables us to be what God has created us to be and to do what God has called us to do. So by grace, the empowering presence, we are saved. You know, what is the meaning of salvation? We need to know exactly what God is speaking to us about salvation. Now, many denominations know about this word salvation. Almost everyone, you know. The word save comes from the Greek word sozo, S-O-Z-O. The noun of the word is soteria, S-O-T-E-R-I-A. Save comes from sozo. The meaning of that Greek word is deliverance, salvation, healing, wholeness, preservation, fullness. All of this is put together. But for most of the time, when the word save or salvation is mentioned, what do we think? Immediately born again. Isn't that right? Be very fair. Wrong. Take it out of your heart. If I ask you, are you saved? Oh yes, I got born again 10 years back. I was born again. We only think of born again experience. If I ask you, do you need to be saved? You will say, no. But you don't know the reason why you are saying that. You are only thinking of born again experience as an event, one time experience, right? But you're going to learn from the Holy Spirit, it is not so. The born again experience is an experience, is an event. Yes, true. But it does not stop there. It is not a stationary thing. The event itself is the start of the great salvation God has for you and me. It's just the beginning experience. Just like the child was born. Is it everything is over? No. The child had to be looked after, fed, protected. There's a lot of things to be done, taken care of for that child. So we think, I don't need to be saved again. I don't need salvation again. True, you are talking about the born again experience you had. But the word salvation means salvation, deliverance, healing, wholeness, preservation, and fullness. For us, or most of us, the salvation is only in the past. This is because when we hear the word salvation, we are programmed already in our hearts to think it's the born again that we are talking of. This is a serious mistake. When we receive Jesus as our Savior, yes, we receive the new life, the new experience, the born again experience. The heart is renewed, new spirit God gives us. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, verse 12, Peter speaking these words, said to the people that were hearing him, Acts 4:12, neither there is salvation, sozo, in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men where we must be saved. So please, I want to stress again, the word save does not stop in your born again experience. It's a lifetime thing that we need to receive. I am not saying to you that you must be born again and again. No. But you need salvation. What am I saying? You need deliverance. You need healing. You need protection. You need preservation. You need fullness. All the thing is over there. Colossians chapter 1 verse 3. What does it say? Colossians chapter 1 verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Can you see? That's salvation. That is salvation. A deliverance from the power of darkness. We were in the clutches of the enemy. And then we got delivered. But do we need deliverance now? Oh, yes. We need these things continually. For we are in the enemy's territory. We need to be protected. We need the wholeness, the fullness. So salvation starts with an event that is born again experience. But there is a relationship to be continued. You have to continue. Work out your own salvation. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2. Work out. Work it out. It has come in now. You have to work it out. So it's not the thing that one time affair. We are programmed. Just like we got programmed into say, grace, yeah, unmerited favor. People don't know. It's not unmerited favor. John 8:31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye can continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Jesus never said that you continue in my word, you got to get born again. Nothing said about that. He's talking about discipleship. In fact, in the early church, there's nothing stressed about born again. Jesus spoke those words to Nicodemus. To get into the kingdom, yes, you must be born again. You are born into the kingdom in the family of God. But then God wants us to be disciples. That takes our everything. So people can just get deceived. I got born again 22 years back, and what am I now? No, I'm just going to church. What are you doing? Nothing. So what? I'm a believer, I'm a Christian. I read my Bible and I pray. No. It is not a static thing, your salvation. It's an ongoing process. It is an ongoing. If you continue in my word, see, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So that means you can be born again and not continue in the word, and you will never be free. Am I right? Simple as that. If you don't continue meditating the word, studying the word, obeying the word, speaking the word. Now, if you speak words of the cosmos, idle words, negative words, are you not bound by it? Proverbs chapter 6 says that you are bound by your words, right? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So now what do you need now? You have to undo. You have to get delivered yourself. Sozo. Salvation. Interesting, we sang that song. Salvation today. Just now I remember. So if you continue, it is not a just one-time event. Truly, you are my disciples. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. God never gives a passport to anybody. As you got born again, live as you like now. I'll see you in heaven. Did he say that? No. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The path of the just are those people who are washed by the blood of Jesus. Okay? Does it say the experience of the just? Does it say the event that happened for them, the time that they got born again? Did he say that? What is he saying? The path, that means it's a road. Is an ongoing journey. Why does it say that? The path of the just is like the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day, like the mid noonday sun. From morning it rises up, and more and more and more a light we receive. Then we know that we are going towards our salvation. We get brighter and brighter and brighter. It is progressive. So don't be deceived by thinking, I gave my life to the Lord and I got born again and that's it. And not knowing you are playing the fool. And not intaking your spiritual food. Not taking part, putting your hand on the plow in the kingdom of God. Jesus said, either you follow me or you don't follow me. Either you are with me or you are against me. Either we follow Jesus or we follow ourselves. In turn, we follow the devil, because the devil is behind ourselves or the demons. That's why he said, follow me. He never said, follow a church. Can you see this? It's all unconscious understanding and belief that we have. Oh, I got born again. Sister, you are a believer? Yes. 7 years back, I got born again. Think about this. Are you on the path of your journey? Getting brighter and brighter and brighter. Hebrews chapter 2. So, we need to get it off, just like our unlearning that grace is an unmerited favor of God. We need to unlearn that anybody talks of salvation, oh, it's nothing to do with me. I am saved. No, we got saved. We are being saved. We will be finally saved. Deliverance. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. He is writing to the believers, isn't he? He is writing to the believers who have got washed in the blood of Jesus, the Jewish believers. He says, we need to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. It can slip away due to pressure of life. Verse 2, for the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and transgression and disobedience received just recompense and reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? We can neglect salvation. You and I can neglect your born again experience event and get into another exit. And then the devil can throw anything on our path. That's why I said it could be family affections, it could be your friends, it could be your job, it could be money, it could be jewelry, it could be clothing, it could be anything that our heart is clinging on to. And you don't start altogether go and jump in the middle of the ocean. You could just little by little by little, everything seems right. Everything little and little and little before you know that you are going to the deep end. And now what you need? Salvation. You need to get born again? No. You need deliverance. Salvation. You need healing, probably. You need to be washed, probably. You need to be cleansed. You need to be brought back from the clutches of the evil powers. See the word salvation. Don't just sit and relax. It's an ongoing process. How shall we escape if we neglect such a great deliverance which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and confirmed to us by them, and they heard them, God bearing witness with both signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. So it's an ongoing process. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. All naughtiness must go away from us. Receive the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. There you go. I thought you said that you got saved. Which is able to save your souls. Yes, the event took place. Now God says, I have given you to keep you in that salvation. And it's an ongoing process. It doesn't say which saved your souls. Which is able to save in future, now. So if we neglect it, just like Hebrews says, we're done. Progressive, not static, not immediate, just past, no. Progressive. All right. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 37. So the salvation of the soul, spirit and soul and body took place, yes. But now God says, come on, cling on to it. Work out your salvation. Work out your deliverance. That's just an event. Hebrews 10. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But any man draw back, my soul shall not have pleasure in him. This was again written to the believers. God says, if you draw back, you can. You neglect your birthright, your salvation, your deliverance, which you had. And now you think that I had before, and then you are going about in your own business. God says, you're fooling yourself. And you're drawing back without your knowledge. My soul will never have pleasure. What is that he's saying? It means you are falling from grace now. You have no power to sustain you. The divers, they take oxygen when they go down. And once that is over down there, they had it, they got to come and fill it up or they die. There has to be a continuous breathing. And the continuous life, thank you, Jesus, comes from the Holy Spirit, comes from the Word of God, comes through the favor of Jesus, if we are prepared to receive. So don't just bang on, say, I got born again long time. Who wants to listen? Grace. I'm coming to that now. Now, continue reading. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition. The word perdition is the same word used for Judas, the son of perdition. He just got lost. Even though he was near Jesus. Actually, some of us, we need to concentrate and do a study on Judas. You don't need to be a Judas, but you can operate in Judas' spirit. Yeah. I never thought about doing a study on that. The thing that I found, may the Lord give me time to speak to you. I'm collecting something. The son of perdition, but are them that believe to the saving of the soul. Can you see that? So we said, well, I got saved. I got born again. But he says, saving of the soul. If you love your soul, you lose it. If you hate your soul, this life, and you shall keep it for the eternal life, and God will give you the new life. It's up to us, up to you and me. But it'll cost everything. Because so expensive, you cannot buy the soul with anything. The devil is after your soul and mind. In fact, he's after our body. If we can spend more time with the body, he loves it. Whatever the cosmos has to offer. All right. Now, Romans. So it's a progressive thing, okay? We don't draw back like, you know, perdition, son of perdition like Judah. From Romans chapter 1 verse 16. Romans 1, 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Can you see that? Is the power of God. It doesn't say which gave us salvation. Hello. It says unto salvation. It's a progress. It's a process. Unto salvation. We cling on to the good news of the kingdom. And then we go on with it. Go on with it. We get delivered and saved and saved and get delivered and finally we get delivered. Amen. unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jews first and also to the Greeks. Can you see? For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, verse 17, from faith to faith. You and I received faith in our born again experience, salvation. Is that right? You are saved through what? Faith. By grace. Now you can't remain there. You had to go from faith to faith. How? By the revelation of the good news. The revelation of the righteousness. See that? Therein is the righteousness of God revealed. So through revelation, and revelation comes through what? The empowering presence of God. The Lord Holy Spirit who is within us enables us to be what God has created us to be and to do. Finish it. What God has called us to do. If you consider your life and your future as so precious that you need to fulfill, you will be very careful where you go and what you talk, what you buy, what you do with your body, even little things like your food, because you need the body to finish up for the Father's business. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. So I'm just laying foundation that it's a process. It is an ongoing thing. Salvation is not static. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. But we all with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. From faith to faith, from glory to glory, we need to go forward towards the salvation. Now, the word salvation is beginning to take different shape now. It's not a one-time affair. It's like so-and-so got married in this day, this year, this time in a church. No. It is not a one-time affair. It's an ongoing process. James said, this word of God, you need it for the salvation of your soul. The devil is after your mind, your emotions, even your body. You confess wrong things, he's going to bind you and then make you die before your time. He's going to bind you, steal away your peace and your happiness and your whatever the joy. But you need the word of God. You need the power of God. You need the grace of God. When the word of God will have to be fed in by the Holy Spirit. You need the grace, the empowering presence of God in order to feed you. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. So we will continue for us to continue living in the salvation, going unto salvation. We need grace. Now you know. Without grace, you cannot go forward. So, what is salvation? Salvation is seeing the grace of God, everything that God has promised in my life at the right time, at the right measure, and with the right effects. Salvation is the grace of God, is seeing the grace of God, everything that God has promised into my life at the right time, at the right measure, and with the right effects. We all need to be saved. That's why Paul wrote in Hebrews, how can we neglect such a great salvation? Hey, the angels have been a sign for us that we may not get into a trap. You need deliverance. Paul needed deliverance many times. People are attacked. in their body, in their mind, anything, they need salvation. So don't tie up the word salvation to the born again experience. Take it off. If a believer is sick, that person needs to be saved. What am I saying? He needs deliverance from sickness. He needs to be saved from sickness. That's the word, sozo, or soteria, that's noun. So again, I want to say, this does not mean to say that I'm telling you, you have to be born again and again. No. It's a process going towards the fullness of salvation, completeness. Okay? There are circumstances and different situations will arise. We need salvation. We need deliverance. We need to be set free. You are going on a flight and the airplane is in trouble. Everybody is praying. What do you need? What do they need? Salvation. They need deliverance from that death. That's the word. Now you understand. So, but the salvation comes through grace, through faith. Through faith. Turn that with me to Ephesians chapter 2. But you know that you can't have faith without receiving through the word of God. Faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, 17. Now see, chapter 2, Ephesians 5. When we were dead in sins, he hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. By grace you are saved. Verse 8, for by grace you are saved, by the empowering presence of God, you are saved, you are delivered. Through faith, you believed in that good news, and God's grace, favor came and changed your heart and delivered you from the clutches of the enemy. Okay? Now, I want to say something here. Sometimes you might be shocked, sometimes. The death of Jesus Christ on the cross did not save you. You were not saved by the death of Jesus on the cross. You say, my God, this is the dumbest thing that I have heard. What are you saying here? Romans. Chapter 5, verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Look at me now. We are reconciled to God by the death of Jesus, his son. Reconciliation means God says, come on, come on, come on. I'm not angry. Come on, I want to embrace you. Come. We are reconciled. God and people, human beings, are no more enemies. God is not saying, shut the door. You remember, look at me, will you please? You remember all the time when God has to speak to Israelites. What did he do? He spoke through Moses. He could have said, hey guys, shut up. I want to speak to you now. Listen, everybody. He could have done that. But he didn't do that. There was no opening. He said, Moses, tell them. Anything he wanted to speak to them, he spoke through Moses. Now, look at me. We are now reconciled to God through the death of Jesus on the cross. Reconciliation. We're shaking hands. Are you with me? We're shaking hands with God now. Now watch, continue to read. much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his what? There you go. You are saved by the life, the resurrection life of Jesus. Now you got it. Death canceled the penalty of sin. Death made us reconciled to God. Man, I'm telling you, you just learned something you do not know. I mean, God's teaching you something. You remain these things and you teach some others, faithful people. They are going to just run with the gospel. Death canceled our penalty. Death canceled the wall that is between us and God. And God said now, well, hello, I am God Almighty. How are you, darling? Come on. I want to shake hands with you. Reconciliation. But after reconciliation, if God lets us just like that, it's no good. What he says now, I want to send the life of my son inside of you. Okay, through the Holy Spirit. Much more after reconciliation, we shall be delivered, saved by his life. So life of Jesus comes inside now and makes us a new person and we are delivered. Amen. We are saved. We received that experience. We received that salvation. We got born again. So we thought that, oh, Jesus died for me, so I am saved. That's speaking without knowledge. If Jesus was not resurrected, we're all done. When Jesus was resurrected, that proved, put the stamp. He was raised up, we all got raised up. Seated with him in the heavenlies. So now, by his life, we receive salvation. So when we ask Jesus, come into my heart, Lord, the new life comes inside. You are what? Delivered, saved. And that's the start. And that is the start. So the life of Jesus saved you. The death of Jesus reconciled you. Say after me, the death of Jesus reconciled me to God. The life of Jesus saved me. See that? Hey, I want to say something. All the human beings right now living on earth, every village, every nation, every country, everyone, God is stretching forth his hand. He called that person. I'm not angry. Come on, come quickly. I was going to close the curtain. I want to come. Everything is over. Everything is ready. Come. Reconciliation is over. People do not know. It's free. Now, what are we doing with this message? Go with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Oh, Paul knew this. Second Corinthians, verse 18. And all things, chapter 5, verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of what? Reconciliation. And God is saying, go and tell everybody everything has been done. Don't cling on to any religion. Don't cling on to your laws. I have kept the door open. Come on now. Now look at me here, please. I'm going to give you an example to the best of my knowledge of the Lord helping me. Supposing if Canada says, due to all the problems that are going on, and then people are dying here and there, I am saying to Sri Lanka, all the parliamentarians, they come to it. We're going to get anyone and everyone, those who are willing to come. Everything will be looked after, from home to the airport, to the passport, to the ticket fare, everything. And imagine many of them, 90% of them did not know. And some of us knew, and we didn't tell them. Can you imagine that? That's how it is, the salvation. To take the word of salvation to people. If we go and tell that person can decide and then buy the ticket free. Come over. But why many won't come? No one to tell them. How shall they believe unless they hear? How can they hear unless somebody tells them? We are so much into our own things. Focused on our own things. What the world has to offer. So, God goes to the others. See? Now, salvation is in four stages I want to show you. Number one, you are saved from the pleasure of sin through the empowering presence of God. Do you know in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3 and 3 to 5, we read, we at that time when we did not know God, did whatever our mind, our thoughts said, and our desires, our emotions went for it, whether it's food or for any type of sin, whether it's gossip or sex or do anything. Are you listening to me? People just were guided. We were guided by the domination of our soul and body. There was no restriction in food. There was no restriction in whatever the eyes want to see. There was no restriction in buying. There was no restriction in selling. There was no restriction in our mouth. Nothing was under control. We just lived as the body wanted, as the soul wanted. Okay? But the mercy of God forgave all our sins. Okay? So all the desires to sin again, we got delivered. Desire to go and sing. Now some of you, you can imagine, you can just think the things that you need to do, though you were doing, we were doing those days. We would say, yuck, my Lord. What are the places where I went? What I was doing? Huh? So number one, you are saved, delivered from the pleasure of sin. How? By the empowering presence of God, the grace. You are delivered from the pleasure of sin. Number two, then salvation now goes on. You are delivered or saved from the penalty of sin. Mercy comes and removes judgment. Now, each time that you slip and fall here and there, the Bible says, confess, repent and confess your sin. He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:7, 1:9. So you are now saved, delivered from the penalty of sin. The punishment and the penalty of sin was put upon Jesus Christ on the cross. Number three. As salvation goes on, you are delivered from the power of sin. Hey, the power of sin is right now here. Some of us have read that scripture in Romans. Turn with me to Romans. Romans chapter 6. Knowing this, that our old man has been crucified with him and the both of sin, body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. It says, don't serve sin. behind sin there is power. Okay? But you need the power of God to go on, not to be caught by the power of sin. Okay? Now, please look at me, an example the Lord gave me, and I'm going to say that to you. Earth has a gravitational pull, is the law of gravity. When you jump, you come down. When you jump in on the moon, you come down after a little while because the gravity is very less. You go up and then you come down slowly. It's a slow motion. But Earth is not like that. That's why everything is in its place. God designed it that way. Now watch. When you see in the airport all the planes that are right there, right? People are getting in, boarding, okay? Now the plane goes on the runway and then they wait and then they take off. And you see in some planes, two engines. In other planes, four engines, jets. They work. That makes them run, and that at a certain speed, they take off, rising up against the law of gravity. And the plane takes off and off and off and off as it rises high, goes above the clouds and all that, and they continue to fly maybe hours and hours before reaching another nation. Are you with me? All the time, that weight of that plane, thousands and thousands of tons, with its people and engine and all kinds, is sustained against the gravity by those jets. Power. Now you read Romans chapter 6, verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under what? Only if you are under the, like the jet engines taking the plane up and keeping it there. Only the empowering presence of God's power, grace, will sustain us from the power of sin, which is at arm's length. Oh, watch out, young people. It is just over there. You need what now? Grace, the power of God. You need the grace of the Lord Jesus. You need the help of the Holy Spirit to keep us not to come down. Just imagine, while they are flying, engines collapse. They don't work. What happens? The plane comes down, right? And they crash. And it happens, it has happened. That's how plane crashes. So without the grace, you and I are no match to go against the power of sin. Sin will try to dominate you and me. Gravitational pull will pull everything that takes off the ground. But there has to be another power, another force to keep us above. That force, I'm just saying as an example, for us to live above the power of sin is the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, sin can be just a gossip. Now, sin means immediately we think, oh, fornication, no, I won't go near. Adultery or stealing. What about gossiping? Lying. What about backbiting? What about holding up bitterness inside? Unforgiveness. Now you need what? You need mercy. God is not going to give you grace to hold unforgiveness. You are to cry out for mercy now. And God forgives and we forgive that person. Then the grace of God comes and delivers that person. How many of you understand what I'm saying? So in order to go on without getting caught by the dominion power of sin, we need the grace of God. So the Holy Spirit says, hey, you're not under law. You're not doing your own thing. You're not trying to keep the law. The law has been written in your heart. But now you're under grace. The question is, are we? In other words, to say, to be under grace means to under the lordship of the Holy Spirit. To be under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. He is the grace of God. There is no way that we can try to fight against sin. Joseph, by the grace of God, escaped from that woman. But David got caught. We need the grace of God. I would like if people can say, instead of they meet together, many people say, praise the Lord, brother, praise the Lord, sister. We meet, why don't we say, grace to you. More and more grace to you. May the grace be with you. Bye-bye. Do we say that? Early days they said that. May the Lord be with you and with you also. What are they saying? May grace be with you. See, we are under grace, but then are we? It started, but are we continuing to be under grace? Under grace means to depend on grace, to abide in grace, to be strong in grace, and to grow in grace. The empowering presence of God, which enables me to be what God has created me to be and to do what God has called me to do. Okay? So you are delivered from the power of sin, and we need deliverance until we leave this earth. Isn't that right? Why? We are still in the presence of sin, right? Yeah. What if I go to the moon and then leave? There is no presence of sin. There is no, I don't see anything. What about? You can think all kinds of rubbish in your mind. Oh yeah, I forgot. Only in heaven you won't think of evil. That is the presence of God. You won't think a wrong thing. You won't think of somebody coming like that. Hey, look at David. And he said, oh, no. No, you won't think anything. Because why? And the fourth one, now you are saved finally from the presence of sin. When is that going to happen? No. At death or at rapture? At death or at rapture? Are you getting this? Oh, I'm getting confused. So number one, tell me, you are saved from what? The pleasure of sin. Two, you are saved from penalty of sin. Three, you are saved from power of sin. And fourth, you are saved from presence of sin. Gone. No more. He who had died, the sin has no power. So, in order to continue in the presence of sin, we need to be under grace and to be buried in grace, to grow in grace, to go forward in grace. We need the grace of God. What is that? The empowering presence of God. That's why the Holy Spirit was sent. We try to do it ourselves. When we go on the streets, we see all kinds of posters. Sometimes something is telling us, look again. Or somebody is having close, all kinds of nonsense, illicit, open air, lust, sexual lust, young people or anybody. And you just, you don't want to look there, but something is telling, look, see, you want to do this? And then you, there's something always, what is that? Power of sin. What do you need? The grace of God. If you don't have it, you will look. And then what? Now you have your video inside. That's going to happen. We need continuous salvation, continuous saving power, continuous unto salvation. Grace works. Now you tell me, are you saved? Yes? No? You got saved? I got saved. I am being saved, and I will be saved. Amen. Yeah. It's an ongoing process. Continuous. All right? So Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, what is he talking of out of all the four? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. Tell me. Ephesians 2, 4. What is he talking of after all the four? But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherefore he loved us, even though we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together. By grace you are saved. What is he talking of? By grace you are saved. Out of the four, which one is he talking of? By grace you are saved. Huh? He is talking of all the four. Oh, I thought I got born again 12 years back. He's talking about that. No, darling. He's talking about all the four. So you need the continuous clinging on to the Lord, Holy Spirit. Where are you, Lord? My mind is upset. I thought you'll never call me, the Spirit of God says. What do you want? No, I just am troubled. I need deliverance. I can't read my Bible. Everything seems to be going around. Some people come and tell me, born again people. Brother, I can't read the Bible. Where did you go? I didn't know you. No, this lady came and then I just sat and spoke with her all the time. What were you speaking? No, she was taking all that. Oh. So you wasted the time, right? Yeah. Will you confess to the Lord? Yes. Father, boom, immediate. What happened? Deliverance. Salvation. She needed to be saved. I'm not talking about the born again experienced. See? Titus chapter 2 verse 11, quick. Titus chapter 2 verse 11. Are you taking this in? By the grace of God. Yes, by the grace of God. Mm-hmm. Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that bringeth what? Salvation. Hath appeared to all men. What brought the salvation? What brought the deliverance? Tell me. The grace of God brought salvation. The grace of God brought deliverance, wholeness, preservation, salvation. To all men. Now, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Teaching us. What is teaching us? Can somebody tell me? The grace of God is teaching us. To be taught, we need the grace of God. Grace of God. Okay? You need the grace of God. And grace we receive through faith. And faith comes through hearing the word. It's all connected, you know. You can't just simply say, get up and say, Lord, I need grace today. And then don't eat your food, your spiritual food, and, you know, have fellowship with the Lord and no. Just like people say, they serve the food and say grace. No. The grace of God teaching us to say no to the temptations of this world and yes to God. What do you need to say no and to say yes? No to the world and yes to godly life. You need the grace of God. You need the grace of God. So this is what it is. Grace begins, continues, and with grace we finish. May the grace of the Lord be with you. Amen.